You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, any announcements? Scripture reading today is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Right, well, the weather is getting a bit windy. And we get all sorts of temperatures. Last night it was really hot where we were. And then we woke up in the morning, it's freezing. So it's a really interesting temperature change there in Oklahoma. And keeps you on your toes. And we're getting some very interesting painted buntings coming in. I've heard from some of you that you're having the same experience, which is nice. We're seeing all these birds. And I make fun about the birds with Seppi, because we look out the window and you see a bird going that way and a bird going that way, and it's like they're telling each other, there's food here, you know. So I'm keeping my feeders full, and amongst feeding the the bird. And we often take the truck and we go out to Thunderbird, but we went out to go to the truck and I noticed this beautiful goldfinch on the bonnet of the truck, hood. And there is, there it was, and I just stopped and I said, look at that, Seppi. And then it flew from the hood across to the fence line. And then it flew over to me and landed on my shoulder. Good luck, man, I'll tell you, that's unbelievable. And so here I am with this beautiful goldfinch right there. And what we're talking about, it's not because it liked me. It's just that it's completely lost, and it's probably the first flight it ever took, you know. It's probably just a little baby goldfinch, and it's just finding its way and found a place to rest on me. But it was beautiful. And so we're really starting to enjoy these birds and seeing them flying around and doing their thing. We hope that we can help them a little bit by feeding them. Maybe we should do more of that during the winter. Probably the winter time is the most important time to feed these things. Anyway, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this opportunity once again to meet together and open the scriptures. We thank thee for thy creation and all that we can enjoy in it. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring forward strong leaders in this country that would stand for the truth of the Constitution, Lord, and for the truth of Jesus Christ, because that's where the real solution lies for all of our problems, Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So here we're looking at our study on Acts, and we are thinking about when things are written and things that are important to understand, doctrines which find a context and which have import to us in the sense that they may contain information which is general. And that's the subject that I want to look at today, that while it has there is some specific things about resurrection, I showed you the slide before, but you notice there's a lot of problems that Paul gets into. And one of them has to do with the timing of their resurrection and the nature of it. And those issues, while the timing has a specific import for the book of Acts, and it's very specific for the time that it was written, But there's also general ideas that we can learn from his discussion concerning the resurrection, the nature of the resurrection. So there are some important things in here. And so you notice in 1 Corinthians 5:9 it says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. I wrote unto you in an epistle. So there are other epistles that Paul wrote which have not come to us as inspired scriptures. But he refers to, for example, this one here. So there's an order that goes on, and I call this a lost epistle. But it's, of course, it's not lost to God's mind. God simply did not desire that this would be recorded as scripture. So there's this epistle that was written, then there's 1 Corinthians, and then there comes 2 Corinthians. And there's all sorts of ways in which information comes to Paul. Of course, he was inspired. That's obvious. The Spirit of God would speak to him. And he had other fellow workers, like Titus and Timothy. And he also mentions other sources, the house of Chloe. Okay? And also, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. So there's information that comes to Paul in all sorts of different ways, and he records this. And so in this epistle, the 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians, he discusses very important issues that had to be resolved, one of which has to do with the resurrection, which touches on an issue which is right through the Bible and is important. Let's just look at a couple of passages. I want you to have a look at Romans with me. This is just Romans chapter 8. Now, we'll really put our dancing shoes on because we're going to have to move through these passages a little bit. So this is Romans chapter 8, verse 23, and it says this, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, and then he says, to wit, to know, the redemption of our body. Now, this is very interesting to me, right? Because when he talks about this in verse 23, where he talks about not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. We groan, don't we? I mean, hey, as you get older, you groan more. Oh, man, it hurts. Ah, yeah, ow, it hurts. And we groan and we moan, and death is working in us, and we have breath. We can face death head on, I believe, because while it is an enemy, we've got something out of Christ which we don't deserve, and that's resurrection. We have life in Christ. And man, it just brings a tremendous joy to me to be able to bring to people of this world this life message that we can bring to people hope that they couldn't possibly have otherwise. I mean, for some people in this world, they've bought into this atheistic nonsense and they have absolutely no hope whatsoever. Can you imagine that? If you really believe that, there's no God. Okay, if there's no God, this is it, man. This is it. And you'll die, and then there's no reason to believe that you're coming out of that grave. But my friends, understanding who the true God is, man, does it ever bring you some wonderful hope. And I'll show you something in here. Let's just go back into the book of Job. I want to show you a few things. So you go back to Job, and then you look at Psalms. So Job before Psalms, and Job chapter 19. And this is where Job has to deal with his friends. And you might say, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Right? Because you've got all these friends come around him, and they start picking him into pieces and saying, well, these things have happened to you because of, look at what you've done. You've done something, etc., etc. And in Job 19, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" Oh man, isn't that what the world's wanting to give to you? That's what the world wants to give to our children in schools. And they destroy our children by trying to say there is no God and you can just do what you want because you don't have to face any kind of judgment from God. And man, is that bringing consternation and pain on our societies of this world. And he talks about these 10 times, and he, it's really sad to hear this. But as you go down further, it says this in verse 23. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." You got your wish, man. You got your wish. Here they are, written down in a book. "That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever." Well, God's got them there in his own mind, and he'll see to it that they're preserved. Now, there's other people have written things down in rock. The pharaohs had scribes, and they had pen and smash things into rock, and they're still there to some extent today, and you can read their hieroglyphics. And all they have is a hope which is just, unfortunately, nonsense. So what we want is we want to get God's word on this. We want something that's going to be true and will last forever. Verse 25, "For I know," look at his knowledge. This is the knowledge of Job. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Now this, as far as we understand it, man, this is a primitive document. Long before there are any Jews or Christians, long before all these religions that we see in the world today, that we are familiar with, long before all those, here was a man who went through some serious persecution. And what does he say about his knowledge? What did he know? "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." My question to you is, how's God going to stand on the earth? God is spirit, right? How is he going to stand? And he says this, verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body," okay, the natural process is going to occur, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, you came from the dust, you're going back to it, "yet in my flesh shall I see God." Two questions. How's he going to have flesh when he's just admitted that his flesh is going to be consumed? The second question is, how is he going to see God? Huh? Good questions, don't you think? And it says in verse 27, "whom I shall see for myself." Yeah, this is not some dream about some other person. This is personal. "I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." I'm not talking about someone else's experience. I'm talking about mine, and it's going to be my eyes that see God. I will live again. I'm going to live again, though my reins be consumed within me. Despite the fact of death, yet this will be true. My question is then, how is this going to be? How can this happen? How can this happen? "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth. And though even all these things shall happen, I will be resurrected." That's what it means. Come across to some other passage with me. This is in the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, Ezekiel is another one which is fantastic. Ezekiel 37. And let's see, it says this. Verse 4, just to cut down the time of the reading. Verse 4, "Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring you upon flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. And ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Resurrection in the context for Israel, man's coming. Life comes through resurrection. Hope is fulfilled through resurrection, man. Look at this down here in verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Here's the vision of this resurrection that's going to occur. God's going to do it. Yeah, it's important. You know, the death, the burial, and the resurrection is intimately involved with the gospel. In fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians, so this is our interest now. We're starting to zoom in on our interest today. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, it says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. Okay, so there's a certain memory that's involved here. What are you trusting on? What's your memory like? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. Notice he says he rose again according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, he rose again. The resurrection is important. Because without the resurrection of Christ, you do not get the evidence that he paid for the sins. I mean, if Jesus died for the sins of the world and he didn't come up, right? Well, then he paid for it and he had sin himself to pay. Yeah, he may have wanted to pay for the sins of the world, but it looks like he had some sins of his own because he stayed down there. But that's not the truth of Christ, because he came up. And as he comes up, his ministry continues. Look at this. This is in the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter number 1, verse 18. I want to show you that this idea of the resurrection is just right throughout the Scriptures. It's important, and especially in relationship to Jesus Christ. Verse 18, Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth, right? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Yeah, man. So this is someone who is living today and has keys, man. Keys that has to do with opening up graves and finishing forever death. He's got the keys, man. He's got the keys. You're in Revelation. Just go back to Hebrews chapter 7 with me. Hebrews. I know I'm making you work a little bit here, but it's good for you. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says this. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is dependent on the fact that Christ is alive. If Christ is not alive, then how can this intercession take place? You see the conditioning here? The conditioning on Christ to be alive. It's vital, you see. And people want to always talk about Jesus Christ's death for our sins. And of course, that's an important part. But you notice Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 also emphasizes the resurrection of Christ. Because with the resurrection of Christ comes a continuance of ministry by the Lord Jesus. Very important things. Okay, go across to, you're in Hebrews, go to Hebrews 9, verse 24. It says this. For Christ has not entered in the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What's this? Continuance of ministry. This is Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, but who was raised, and in being raised, he continues ministry. And without him being alive, there is no continuance of that ministry. Very important thing to see. Now, all this business concerning Jesus Christ and his resurrection is foreseen. You can see this in all sorts of types. If you look, for example, in Leviticus chapter 14, you'll see birds, for example. Birds, two birds taken for the leper. And what happens? Well, you get a pair of birds. One is sacrificed and the other is thrown into the air, man. Death, burial, and resurrection symbolized here in that process. Tremendous things. Okay, let's just look at some more truths. I just want to show you the absolute truth of this, the importance of it. Have a look at this passage. It's in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter number 9 and verse 4. And it says this. It says, "Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises?" Okay, this is the nature of Israel. And so with Israel come specific promises. Now, just look at Acts chapter 26 with me in that concord. Acts 26 and verse 6. Okay, it says this. Acts 26, verse 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" You see, he was interested in teaching and preaching the promises of God to the Jews. And the Jews knew this resurrection to come. So that's all cool. Now, what about the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry? Just quickly see this. Look how important this is. Look at John chapter number 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 23. This is talking to Martha. "Jesus saith unto her," John 11:23, "thy brother shall rise again." Shall rise again. "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." See, this was her knowledge as a Jewish woman. A general resurrection. "Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto her, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee." The point here is that there is, in the Scriptures, something very interesting about resurrection. There is a resurrection which is based upon a primitive faith. Okay? A primitive faith. And it's general. It's life. Right? You get life. Okay? Through resurrection. But then there is another resurrection, which is to do with a perfected faith. A perfected faith, where there are certain individuals who run the race, man, and because of this, they are given the opportunity through another resurrection for reward. through this? Reward. This is not automatic upon faith. It's not automatic. You have to earn it. You have to earn it. Let me just show you this. Look at John 6 while we're in this sort of area. John chapter 6 and verse 40 says this. John 6 verse 40. We'll read from verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. See that? Nice, simple, clear. You believe? Resurrection. You believe? You don't get chosen on the basis of your good deeds. God reckons you to be righteous on the declaration of your faith. All right? Cool. Notice the context. Last day. Isn't that interesting? Because it reminds us of Job, right? It's a very, very interesting passage. Now, look at this and look at Luke chapter 20. Luke 20. I'm wanting to see some of these things. Luke 20 and verse 35. Okay, let's have a look. It says this. Verse 34, and Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. See what happened here? You've got to be found worthy. You've got to run the race. Another resurrection, and it's a resurrection out from among the dead. Look at this. Go across to the book of Hebrews. Am I going too fast with these passages? Hebrews chapter 11. Too bad. Hebrews chapter 11. And you've got these wonderful passages here of those of Hebrews, chapter 11, which starts in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And then it starts giving us these people of faith. By faith, Abel. It goes on about Abram. Sarah goes down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And then as you come down further, you get Moses. And verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See? What's he doing? He's showing himself worthy. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Through faith he kept the Passover, verse 28. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. Look at this. These are doings, right? These are running the race. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, 7 days is a bit of time, isn't it? A bit of energy went into that. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak. See, these are all through the Bible. These examples of people who run the race, who through faith subdued kingdoms, quenched the violence of fire, verse 34. Okay? Verse 35, here it comes. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Here it comes. That they might obtain a better resurrection. Not just a resurrection. You can get resurrected by belief on Jesus Christ. That's what's required. You are chosen on the basis that God accepts your statement. He says, do you believe on Jesus, my son? Yes. Well, that doesn't earn it for you. But I'm going to elect you out of all of my grace. I'm going to pass that on to you. And look what this is about. What did these people do? It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. Not accepting deliverance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. Okay, well that's a different one, right? We're starting to learn something, aren't we? There is a resurrection which is basic. You believe, you have life accounted to you. Then you've got the opportunity to run the race to get a better resurrection. Okay, cool. Starting to understand. It's right through the Bible. I can see it now. Look at this one. This is in the book of Philippians. So go across to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians. And let's see, chapter 3. And verse number 11. If, it says this, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Look at this, 3:10. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship has something to do with keeping something in common. And the commonness relates to the sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. That's interesting because Jesus took an out resurrection. Look at verse 11. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Wait a minute. That's plain language to me, isn't it? Now notice that the word resurrection is not the usual word anastasis. It's the word ex anastasis. It is the out resurrection of the dead. That is, it is a before resurrection. Before the others come out. Right? Oh, hold the phone, man. Have we ever got some serious doctrine going on here? Right? We've got some serious, serious doctrine coming on here. And it's throughout the Bible. It's not just here. But the specifics, you see, if we want to get the specifics, we have to get the context of when this was written. Like there is a resurrection that Paul talks about in the book of Acts, right? So here in the book of Acts, you've got the hope of Israel, and the hope of Israel, of course, means certain resurrections that are to do with Israel. Okay, Israel. So when you read about resurrection here, yeah, sure, we can learn certain ideas about resurrection, but the specifics of when they occur and their nature, of course, they must pertain to Israel. Okay, cool. Now, let's do something else. Now, okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. Oh, man, this is just so cool, man. This is one of the best things since sliced bread. Do you know what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. That's a sad thing, man. As bad as this coil is, I don't want to slough it off. I want to keep this. I like it. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So here's a heavenly house coming. And it says, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon. What does he say we're earnestly looking forward to? We're earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, here's the point that I want you to see. Because Paul clears everything up here about the intermediate state. The intermediate state. What's the common belief? You die and your spirit goes to some place called paradise. And there you float around playing violins and stuff like that until the resurrection. Right? Something like that. That's the common belief. You die, but you don't. It's the die, but you don't theory. Right? And Well, he's going to deal with this. Watch it. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Well, let me see now. The metaphor here is clothing. And his desire is that we are clothed upon. To be naked means to be between clothings, right? You've got your clothes now. You've got to have your eternal clothes later. To be unclothed is something between, right? You've got your clothes off. You're naked. What's that? Well, that's the death state, right? If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. Oh, wait a minute. You're burdened not to be unclothed, but clothed upon. But clothed upon. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. So you get life when you're clothed upon. You are not looking for hopes to be filled in the unclothed state. And he says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. God designed us for this, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. And the good thing about the earnest of the Spirit is it's evidence of the great thing, the redemption of our mortal body, which is to come. Romans 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Ah! So, while we are in this mortal body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, we do not want to be found unclothed. We don't want to be in that state. What state do we want to be in? We want to be in the clothed state. So, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, that is, the body of this death, and to be present with the Lord. How? How can we be present with the Lord? We can only be present with the Lord if we're clothed upon. He's just said that. He said our desire is not to be in the unclothed state, so we're not going to be present with the Lord in the unclothed state. He's just told us. Do you get this, friends? Am I making this stuff up? You know, just here's an interesting passage. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, where it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, here it is. And it's using this adverb, huto, or hutos. In this way, and in this way, we shall ever be with the Lord. And in this way, that is through resurrection. And in this way, we shall ever be with the Lord. You're not going to be with the Lord in the unclothed state. You see the point I'm making? It's in this way. Now, that has a specific meaning concerning those who are living in the book of Acts and have a specific hope in relationship to the hope that was presented as a part of Israel. But nonetheless, the truth of the resurrection comes through, doesn't it? The same principle holds for us. To be present with the Lord, if we want that, must mean we need to be resurrected. And we can be, of course. And these are the passages that we've just been looking at, and I thought we'll stop there today. But there's more to say from 1 Corinthians as well. But Paul gets this sorted out in 2 Corinthians 5. He really does. He hammers this thing home for you, and clearly. It's a rock and roll, man, I'm telling you. Some of these doctrines here are just absolutely fantastic, and they're through the Bible. And what I said at the beginning is so important for us to realize. We have such a fantastic message when we see all this death and dying around us to realize that there is resurrection available to people. And what people need to see is the seriousness of this message. I am the resurrection and the life, right? Said Jesus. And what's required? Does he require that you have to jump over, you know, all sorts of hoops and things to attain to this simple message of life? No, just believe on Christ. Now, once you've believed on Christ, guess what? You can run the race, man, and you can get a better resurrection. Right? Isn't that cool? Yeah, you get saved by grace and you get life, and then after that, he says, okay, man, what are you going to do with this? Run, man, run. Get going. Get going. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this message of life in Christ. We thank Thee for the opportunity to live a godly life, a life that would be pleasing in Thy sight. We pray for this country at this time as it's going through all these turmoils. And yet the people here need to understand, the people right around the world, everyone in this country and around the world, that Christ, who is our life, when He shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in the glory. And we need to trust on Him. We need to trust His finished work for life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.